to a special beer camp episode of Brutal Battle. I have myself here. I have my sidekick, Rebecca, here. Rebecca, go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
And we have our third sidekick, or my second sidekick, the third part of this podcast for today is...
It's our cat, Chloe.
Yeah, she actually decided to lay on Rebecca's lap while we do this. She will not be tasting beer, though, so nobody call the SPCA.
Yeah, she's too young. She's not legal.
She's not legal to drink. Just so there's no confusion, when I say this is a beer camp episode, it's not about the actual beer camp festival that's gone on. I have not gone to that, although I will say that Mike Johnzak from Wine World, thank you very much, because he gave me a call and said he had an extra ticket and wanted to know if I wanted to go for free with him, although I had obligations. So I was unable to go, but thank you very much, Mike, for inviting me to that. It would have been fun. A lot of cool breweries there. And that was the Philadelphia one, because there were a bunch of different locations for it. But this episode is about the tasting of the beer camp, the Sierra Nevada beer camp beers that were in the 12-pack that were distributed to liquor stores around the United States. Anyone out there who was lucky enough to get it, awesome. And you can maybe taste along with us if you want to stop real quick and go get whatever beers you have. We will not be trying all of the beers, because trying 12 different beers is crazy in one episode, especially when it's just Rebecca and I. Plus, it'd just be a really long episode, and I don't think people want to hear an episode that long. We don't want to do one that long. But
plus, I'm tired. I'm not going to last that long.
Yeah. We actually worked out at the gym. It's a Friday night. We worked out at the gym, came home, ate some dinner real fast, and now we're going to podcast. So that's what our Friday nights are like.
Well, first we worked all day.
Oh, yeah, of course. We worked. But
yeah,
I'll say there's nothing I'd rather be doing than sipping on some craft beers and doing a podcast for the listeners on a nice Friday night.
With a kitten in your lap.
People may hear from time to time some things blowing up in the background. That would be our neighbor somewhere still have fireworks from the 4th of July for whatever reason. Dipshits. Anyway, let's get into the beers. Let's start talking about what beer camp basically is. I'm not going to reveal what the four beers we're going to be tasting are right off the bat. We'll just do it as we go. But we did taste 8 of the beers days prior. So we've tasted everything except the 4 that we're going to have on the show right now. And I actually wrote down some notes about the ones that we already tried, so I'll talk about those throughout the episode. And then at the end, we're going to do an actual ranking of how we think the beers stacked up against each other. Just so if anyone out there has not tried their beer camp pack, or if they were able to get one, you will know what's the best and what's not so hot. So Rebecca's going to do her own list, ranking it, and I'm going to do mine, because we did find out as we were talking about it and analyzing that we're a little different in what we thought was the best, and I don't think we're all that different in what we thought is the worst thus far.
Yeah, it's pretty unanimous on the worst.
Yeah. But who knows where these four beers in front of us are going to play into the ranking, and I think the ones tonight are going to be kind of the stronger ones, potentially.
I hope so.
Yeah, Rebecca's actually not been all that impressed with the beer camp pack, so yeah.
Yeah, very, overall, underwhelmed. Sad that I made a special trip to the liquor store last week to get it.
Yeah, it is actually tough to get this pack of beer in Maryland, where we are. The county that we lived in did not have a whole lot allocated to it, so it was kind of like a first come, first serve, and a lot of people did seem to know about it. So I went and picked it up the day of a pack for myself, and then I let Rebecca know, and she's like, well, maybe I'll go pick up a pack for myself.
Yeah.
And the liquor stores were doing one per person, too, so yeah, big deal.
So we have two.
Yeah, we have two. We've gone through, obviously, 8 of the first pack, and then we're going to do the final 4 right here, and then we're going to decide what we're going to do with the pack, the unopened pack, once we're done with this. Because we might get it to someone who's really been looking forward to trying it, and not, you know, kind of be a little bit of douches and hoard it, Or maybe we will be those douches and hoard it if we think that we have some really amazing stuff in it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, so far the last 8 we've had, I'm willing to sell it.
You know, here's the, well, I could see that because I don't think there's anything thus far in there that I can't, well, that I would be, like, real upset if I let one of them go. There's been some good stuff, in my opinion, and we'll talk about that, but, you know.
I mean, it was nothing that I haven't had something similar or better. Nothing that, like, I can't live without. Like,
right.
I'm just kind of like, eh.
Well, let me first talk about, well, let's start tasting one of the beers.
Yeah, I need
first.
A beer. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. I haven't filled anything. So the first one we're going to do is called Myron's Walk. It is a Belgian-style pale ale brewed with coriander. And this beer was actually done by Sierra Nevada in collaboration with Allagash Brewing Company. Okay. So we'll give this one a go.
Not my favorite style, but...
Well, we'll see. You never know.
I know. I mean, I'm open. I'm just...
Like we said before, you know, there may be styles out there where you inherently think it's not going to be so hot, but then you taste it and you're like, actually, pretty damn good. You just never know. So, as you might be able to expect, as a Belgian-style pale, I mean, it looks yellow-orangish hue to it. It looks very clear. You can see right through it. It's got a bit of a head when you pour it in the glass. Smells
like a Belgian.
Smells Belgian-y. I can smell a bit of the coriander, but it also smells a little bit orangey to me, like kind of orange peel-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Which are kind of, these are all notes that you really expect.
Smells, yeah, it was like there's nothing that I'm not, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing I wouldn't expect from this type of beer.
Although in my opinion, it kind of smells a little citrus hoppy. Like, it's this slight kind of citrus hop.
I could see that. Oh.
Which is smelling? Oh, Chloe's decided that she doesn't like us smelling these beers. She jumped
she's
up.
Like staring at my beer glass. Oh, my God.
Well, she wants to drink.
Oh, you want to
but
sniff?
But she's not allowed. Oh, you're going to allow her to sniff the beer.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't like it. Anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it smells pretty Belgian-y, except for that that kind of citrusy hoppiness to it. Hmm.
Mmm.
That is good. I feel like I'm getting a lot of the coriander on the taste.
I really like this.
So you're a fan, eh? Hmm. The aftertaste to me, like the finish on it, has a little bit of kind of like a cereal note to it. You know, like cereal you might have like Cheerios, like not like Honey Nut, but like regular Cheerios.
I can see that.
So I get a little bit of that in the finish, but, like, what are you getting up front? Obviously Belgian yeastiness, but it's not really strong like a lot of Belgians are.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but a lot of the Belgian styles make me feel a little nauseous. Like, something about it is, like, really kind of off-putting to me, but this is not like that at all. It's very easy to drink.
Yeah, it's a very light beer. Mouthfeel-wise, it's pretty light. Very light on the Belgian yeast flavor.
Yeah,
which I'm surprised.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it finishes... I feel like there's a more of a hoppy presence as it finishes.
It's tasting a little popcorn-y to me.
Oh, I could see that. Like buttered popcorn?
Yeah. Which sometimes means that it's infected with diacetyl.
Oh, what's
but,
that?
Diacetyl is an infection that the beer can end up getting, a microbe that will make it taste like buttered popcorn. But
wow, I like it.
I don't really smell that.
Is it harmful?
No, it's not harmful. It just changes
the
flavor.
Oh.
Right, and it's usually not something that's desirable in beers. But I don't think this is diacetyl. I think this is just the flavors in this beer coming together to give kind of like a lightly buttered popcorn flavor.
I really like
that. Because I don't really smell anything like that. And you, with diacetyl, you typically would smell it. But this is pretty good. I'm very surprised. Like I said, not extremely Belgian-y, and I like that. So that's a decent one. So while Rebecca, if you want to have some more, you know, feel free. We're going to talk about Beer Camp. So you had asked me was it? I can't even remember. Was it in the beginning of this or off podcast? What beer camp means? I think it was off the podcast.
I think it was off podcast too.
Why is it called beer camp? Well, it's called beer camp because it's something that Sierra Nevada has been doing for the past bunch of years, where they actually would have a beer camp that they set up in California, and they're out of, I believe, Chico, California. So each year they would have a beer camp where they had homebrewers submit videos to try and get a place in their beer camp, and whoever got a place would come out. You know, they'd you know, have their brewers and everyone, a bunch of people who work for Sierra Nevada, work with these homebrewers and kind of give them some, you know, do some teaching with them and work on some beers with them. And then everybody would brew recipes. And in the end, the recipes that they deemed to be the best, they would put out in their beer camp pack.
Oh.
So in the past, what they had typically done was have like three different styles of beer. Like they'd pick three different recipes of beer that they thought were really good. And then they'd release four of each of those in the 12 pack. But this year, they decided to do something totally different. They went really, really big, and they did nothing with homebrewers. They did a 12-pack of beer that's 12 different beers, and each beer is brewed with a different brewery that's existing. And these are usually, these are like some big breweries, honestly. One of them was done with a Brewers Alliance, though, which, you know, is comprised of some brewers from breweries, but it's not like a specific brewery. But as I talk about all the beers that we've already tried and the ones that we are trying, you know, I'll say what the style is and who the brewery they worked with was. So people who are already familiar with the beer camp pack, it's going to be a little redundant for you to hear, you know, what the beers are and who did them, but it's good stuff. So anyway, so they did this pack, and I think it's a great PR thing, because the PR is basically built in with making these different beers, because pretty much everyone who's a craft beer nerd knows these breweries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they hear about it, they don't have to do much. Like, word of mouth, it'll spread within the craft beer community.
Well, clearly it did.
It did. It really did, and people were scrambling to get it, and like I said, you know, it was hard to get in Maryland. So they did a good job with that. The other thing they were doing is a festival. And let's go ahead and talk about maybe a few of the beers we already tasted. Then I'll come back to talk a little bit about the festival and, you know, what their plans were with that. So some of the beers that we had the Chico King Pale Ale by, not on the show, obviously, that we're still on the Allagash Belgian Pale Ale right now. Off podcast, we had the Chico King Pale Ale. Now, this was a pale ale that was done in collaboration with Three Floyds. Typically a very good brewery, but I'm going to be honest, we didn't really care that much for this beer. It was 6.5% alcohol by volume, and it was a malty pale ale. It was very, very malty, had the slightest hint of citrus flavor to it. I mean, honestly, it was pretty nondescript.
Tasted like water.
Yeah, it tasted like malty water with, like, I mean, you really had to, like, fight to get any sort of hoppiness out of it.
With, like, a splash of lemon.
Yeah, just, like, the smallest splash. So that was one that we already did. We had the Maillard's Odyssey, which was an Imperial Dark Ale by in collaboration with Bell's Brewery. And that was 8.5% alcohol, which was tied as one of the highest alcohol beers in this pack. And I had said that we decided that it was like roasty and chocolatey, and it had a little bit of an ashiness to it. But the cool thing was that the mouthfeel was, it was kind of thin, a little bit thinner than you would assume mouthfeel-wise, but it was really creamy at the same time. And there were some nice perceptible hops in the flavor of that beer, and I think we were both pretty much fans of that one.
Yeah, I mean, so far going into this evening, that's my top-rated beer out of the last eight that we've drank, so.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, Carlin didn't see my list. Yeah.
Oh, right? I didn't. You told me a little bit about the list before we started doing things, so.
But you knew that was the top one so far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like finally after we kind of had like all these like and then we tried that one. I'm like, oh, finally something worth drinking. So that was last night.
I think you were also just kind of looking for that style. You were like, ah, something darker, because that's kind of like in your wheelhouse, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's been like a beer camp like 3 days for us.
Yeah. Well, this is the third.
Third. Yeah.
It's like we're doing our own beer camp.
This is like our own beer camp festival right here.
And, like, our actual bed was our tent and our sleeping bags. So, probably much better accommodations than what people at a real beer camp. Actually, no. I bet at the actual beer camp that they used to do, they were in hotels.
Yeah.
So, probably pretty comfy. Yeah, so, the Allagash, pretty good.
Yeah.
I went ahead and already wrote in where my, where I'm at on my list for that one. Oh, and I will say, since I was saying that alcohol by volume for the other beers... This Myron's Walk Belgian Style Pale Ale is 5.3% alcohol. So, on the lower end. Alright, I actually don't have water to rinse out the glasses, but we'll be alright.
Okay.
Alright, moving right along, let's go ahead and get into the second beer.
I'm excited for this one.
This one is called Tater Ridge. And Tater Ridge is a Scottish ale brewed with sweet potatoes. It is 7% alcohol by volume, and it is brewed in collaboration with the Asheville Brewers Alliance, and that's Asheville, North Carolina. The Brewers Alliance, excuse me while I open this, the Brewers Alliance is what it basically says. It's an alliance for breweries that are in North Carolina. And
do you know why they picked that one?
Yes, I do know why they picked it, and I will get to that. I want to leave that to the end of when I'm talking here about the festival itself. So, here we go. This is a darker than I thought it would look.
Yeah.
Honestly, I knew it would be like kind of like reddish. Well, it is like a brownish.
I was gonna say, it is like a red.
It's like a brownish red. Reddish brown, probably more.
Yeah.
Appropriate. It's got a decent head.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. It's pretty clear when you can.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. What do you smell? Do you smell sweet potatoes on that? Can you smell those sweet potatoes?
I do love sweet potatoes, though. I was hoping I would.
Now, this is the thing. Like, when you know what's in a beer, sometimes you can reach for it. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I feel like knowing sweet potato.
You smell sweet potato?
I feel like I can smell some sweet potato. But who knows how much of that is true.
I call shenanigans on that.
Other than that, it smells malty.
Uh-huh.
It smells a tad bit sweet, like raisiny sweet.
Yeah, I get the sweetness. I stuck my nose in it right away. All I thought was sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. Maybe that's a sweet potato. Who knows?
I don't know.
Well, let's go ahead and try this sucker. That is probably the wimpiest Scottish ale I've ever had.
Tastes like butterscotch.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I can see where you're picking that up. And it has some perceptible hops to it as well. But it's also, actually, when you say butterscotch, I'm actually starting to get a little more of like a bit of a caramel note to it.
Yeah.
Butterscotch and caramel are kind of close.
They are. All I could think of is those, like, disgusting butterscotch. I like butterscotch, but, like, when you're reaching in, like, a candy bowl, no one wants those, like, butterscotch candies that are in, like, the yellow wrappers. They're always at the bottom.
Right.
Along with those weird candies with the, in the strawberry wrappers. You know which ones I'm talking about?
The ones that are actually like strawberry candy with like the liquid inside of them.
They might have
like
liquid. I don't know. I never eat them. They're always at the bottom of the candy bowl.
Okay.
Ooh.
So what's your thought on this beer? Liking it? Are you not liking it?
So like in my head, I want to like it because I like sweet potato.
Well, don't use that as your criteria.
That's like voting for, that's like people who vote on politicians based on if they're good looking or not. I won't do that.
We're just strictly on party line.
Which my grandma did, which I think is too. I think it's cute.
It's cute for an old person.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, we'll keep sipping on it.
So, you know, like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say nose-wise, I was just kind of like, taste-wise. It kind of has a unique taste to it, though. It's nothing...
I mean, to me, it's just a little bit caramelly. It's very malty, and it has just, like, a bitter finish.
Yeah, it's kind of... I mean, it's wimpy. It doesn't have a lot of flavor,
really. Yeah, and it's... The mouthfeel is very watery for what you would assume a Scottish ale is going to have.
Yeah. It's just... I don't know. I'm just...
There's just not much going on.
This beer camp pack was not...
Has not been your friend.
I don't know.
You were more excited because all the brewery names, right?
Well, I think it's kind of like... Anytime you get like a variety pack of something, I feel like there's automatically an element of like excitement. Like, oh my gosh, what's it going to be? And like... Especially when you have 12 different beers that you've never had before and, like, you'll probably never have again.
Right.
There's an element of, like, you're a little kid on Christmas. And I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I had my hopes up too high. But it's just, like, almost like disappointment after disappointment. It's not my thing. I don't know. I think maybe it's just me.
Here's the thing, though. If I would have brought this 12-pack home and I didn't tell you anything about it, I didn't tell you who the breweries were or anything... Do you think you would have looked at it differently and approached the beers differently?
You know, I don't know, though, because I feel like I'm still kind of, I don't know, young in my craft beer, like, venture. I don't know if I'm, like, particularly swayed by breweries. Like, I have no problem. Like, if I don't like your beer, I don't care who you are. I'm going to dump it. I'm not going to drink it. It's just not my thing.
I think so.
But beer is a beer.
Beer's a beer is a beer.
Right. So, okay. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting point. I don't know.
Okay, so let me tell you, the Beer Camp Festival, what they typically do then after they have the beer camp and they release the 12 packs of beer, they have a beer camp festival where they go around to different towns throughout the United States and they have beer festivals in different locations. So this year, they had ones in Chico, California, San Diego, California, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois, Portland, Maine, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the final one was in Mills River, North Carolina. And as I listed them, that's the order that they happened. So they traveled across and down. So the reason their final one was at Mills River is because Sierra Nevada... has opened a new brewery in North Carolina. So their final festival location is where the new brewery is. So, and I think this was a really good idea and good marketing for it. You know, they released their beer camp with all these awesome breweries that they collaborated with. Then they have all these festivals all the way across the United States. And then they settle in... their location in North Carolina. It's their last one, and they have a big celebration where they're like, now the brewery in North Carolina is open. So I thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah, it is. But yeah.
So that final festival is also the grand opening for their East Coast brewery. Yeah.
That's really awesome.
So, yeah, I think it was a smart idea. But let me also say, to piggyback on that there are other breweries that have settled in North Carolina as their East Coast location. You know, they want to have West Coast and East Coast locations so that it's easier for distribution on both ends of the United States. And two other big ones that have recently, within the past few years, opened up in North Carolina are New Belgium Brewing, as well as Oscar Blues. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so very interesting. So, since I did... kind of long story on that. We'll save these other beers we've already done for after we taste the next beer. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
To move on?
My glass is empty again.
Yep. And this next beer is actually one of the two beers in the 12-pack that was actually in a can. All of them were in bottles except two in cans, and it makes sense for the cans because the one was Oscar Blues, and they always put their beer in cans. And this one is Cigar City, who also always puts her beer in cans. So let's open this and see how this is. This is the Yonderbock Tropical Maibock. It is 7.7% alcohol, and like we said, in collaboration with Cigar City Brewing out of Florida. So I'm really hoping that this one does well for me, because I typically really like what Cigar City does. And especially when they say a tropical Maibock. And, you know, people who are very familiar with the show will probably have picked up on the fact that I like tropical notes in my beers. So, it smells... This is going to sound kind of stupid, but it smells like a Cigar City beer. You feel that way? Like, there's a typical... There's a typical yeast scent that they have for the yeast that they use. And it's kind of woody, kind of a little...
I definitely do get this tropical notes. Like, I feel like I smell guava. I'm not really sure what guava smells like.
But it's in there?
But in my head, this is what it smells like. Or maybe papaya.
I would say
papaya. Do you get guava or papaya?
I'm not extremely familiar. I have had papaya and I have had guava before. But I would lean more towards papaya on this one. And... yes, the tropical notes in the nose are very perceptible, and it smells really nice. Coloration-wise, it's looking like reddish-brown.
Yeah.
Reddish-brownish, tannish. Has a decent head to it. It smells... God, it just smells... It's so weird, it just smells like Cigar City to me. Like, honestly... I don't know if this would play out this way, but right now I feel like if you would not tell me what the beer was or who did it and have me smell it, I feel like I could be like, man, that smells like Cigar City stuff. Because there's a very typical smell that all their beers have.
I agree with that. I don't think you could do a smell test.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just being too cocky.
That's kind of like the time I told you I could pick out and tell you what team a hockey player could play.
Just by the way they look.
Just by the way they looked.
Like their facial hair and all that.
Yeah. I did pretty... What did I get? Like 50%?
I don't remember. Oddly enough, this beer tastes a little apple-y to me.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not blowing me away.
I'm telling you, none of these beers have blown me away. I mean, I have ones that I like more than others.
Right.
But honestly, none of these, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to have another fill in the blank with nothing, because...
Honestly, at 7.7% alcohol, I feel like it's a little astringent on the finish. Feel that way?
No, not at all.
I kind of do. This is another one of those beers that you... I mean, you get beers like this all the time where you're like... It smells really good.
Yeah.
And then the flavor doesn't totally live up to it. But I think this is solid still. And it's definitely a beer that I could continue to drink. And obviously when we're done with the podcast, we're going to finish these beers. So I will continue to drink it. It's going to be hard for me to figure out where to put this one. I think I do get a little tropicality in the mouthfeel. I don't get a whole lot of hoppage past that. I get some malt backbone to it. I do get that typical Cigar City kind of woody-ish note to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I have nothing to add, because it's just kind of like, like it's just there.
Yeah, it is there. Man, I was significantly more excited for this beer. Oh man, I'm a little disappointed in this one. Dang it. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and, you know, you can keep sipping on that, see what you think. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about some of the other beers that we had days prior. Okay, so we have the next one. We had one called There and Back. It's an English bitter by in collaboration with New Glarus. 5.6% alcohol by volume. We believe this was, it was like a slight roast malt flavor with faint banana notes to it, actually. And then we started really as it warmed up, getting some apricot aspects to it. And once Rebecca started getting the apricot to it, she became significantly more happy with that beer. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Definitely. Well, then I even said, I'm like, I want to get like more of like peachy sweet, like a peach nectar, is I think what I said when we had that.
So that one I thought was decent. I mean, it's pretty solid. Then another one we had was the Alt Root. It's an alt beer in collaboration with Victory Brewing. I thought it had some roasty caramel to it, had toffee, a bit of a bitter finish to it. And honestly, it had more body in the mouthfeel than you would expect mm-hmm. from an alt beer. Yeah. It seemed to be darker and more present in your mouth than you would think of a typical alt beer.
Yeah, that was actually one of my higher-ranked beers.
I think for style, for being an alt beer, it surprised me.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was pretty good for an alt beer. And then another one that we had, this was one that I really did like. It's called Can Fusion. It's a rye bock in collaboration with Oscar Blues. That was the other one in the can. It was 7.2% alcohol. I thought it smelled kind of pineapple-y. And then when we tasted it, I could definitely get the rye. But then also, I kind of felt like it tasted a little bit like dehydrated fruit juice. Like, I felt like there was, like, dehydrated pineapple in there. Like, if you have a dehydrated pineapple and you'd squeeze it to get, you know, the viscous juice out of it. Obviously not extremely strong because it's diluted in the liquid, but I thought it was interesting. That beer, I didn't know what to expect going into it because I've had Bocks before and I've had rye beers before, but I've never, ever had a rye Bock.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a first for me, and I really didn't know what to expect. And I was happy with that beer. I really was. Mm. So I'm going back to a tropical Mai Bock, and this is a solid beer. I can definitely sip on it and have a decent time. All right, Rebecca, are you ready for the final beer?
I'm really excited for this beer.
Partially because of the way we should taste these beers, but also partially because it's been a big buildup going through all these beers for Rebecca, because I know this is the one she's been most excited for. The final one we're going to do is the Double Latte.
I'm rinsing my glass out for this
one. Okay. It is a coffee milk stout with coffee and lactose added. It is in collaboration with Ninkasi Brewing, and it is 7.6% alcohol by volume. Back in a bottle.
I feel like the entire beer camp is riding on this beer.
So you think if we don't want to keep that other box, that you would want to open it up and take this out if it's good, and then repackage it and give it to someone?
You're like, I'm sorry, I don't really know what happened to that double latte.
Oh damn! When they packaged that, they screwed up. They only put 11 beers in there. That sucks
for you.
Okay, so obviously being a stout, it's very, very dark. Although on the edges, you can see like a reddish brown hue to it. It's got a decent tan head.
Yeah, I mean, in some areas, you can definitely see through it.
Jesus. When I smell it, I smell coffee. I smell a lot of coffee.
It smells like
green coffee. Yeah. Like young green coffee.
I feel like if you close your eyes and you didn't know you were like smelling a beer, you could think you're smelling a cup of coffee.
A diluted cup of coffee.
Well, yeah.
Because coffee usually smells a lot stronger.
Yeah. I mean, like a wimpy water, like you accidentally put too much water, not enough beans.
I'm surprised at how coffee it is. You know, a lot of beers that say they're coffee, like you get coffee in the nose, but it's not like smack you in the face coffee. Yeah. And this really is like smack you in the face, like green coffee. And
oh my gosh, I love it. I love it already.
If you like coffee, it smells really good.
But it's also, it's not just coffee though. I am getting more of,
there's a bit of a chocolatiness to it.
Yeah. I was going to say like a little bit of like a mocha.
Yeah. Well, why don't you taste it and see what you think? Because I already tasted mine. And I kind of know what.
Mm.
Yeah. Is that a of terrible or great or in between?
This is really good. Okay, this is my number one by like leaps and bounds.
Well, you're not supposed to say sorry. That yet.
Oh, sorry, listeners. I ruined it.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can tell by my reaction, and it's still good. I mean,
it is good.
It's good. Was this beer worth the entire beer camp 12 pack? Hell's no.
It is. I will say it has a little less mouthfeel to it than I would expect from this type of beer.
Yeah.
But it's still. It's almost there. It's not far off.
Undesirable though. Like I've had like some style, like some beers of this style, and the mouthfeel is so wimpy. It just kind of takes away from the whole experience. You know, when you have a certain style of beer, there are certain things that you expect, and you want to have that experience. But this, it is a little thin, but not, it doesn't take away from the beer. Oh my gosh, it really is like, when I smell it, I get the same feeling I get when I stick my nose in like a Starbucks latte.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You know, the more I'm tasting it, the more I'm, like, there is a bit of a creaminess to it. I can taste the lactose that was added to it, but I just think it's, I feel like it's lacking something. Like, the body's not enough for me. I would like something a little thicker, maybe a little more mocha-y, and honestly, let me taste it again. I guess I don't feel like the coffee and the chocolate are, and like the chocolatey notes, milk and the milk are marrying up as well as they potentially could.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little more heavy on the coffee than what else is it described as? A coffee, what? A milk. The problem is I just like this beer so much because it's my favorite of the 12 pack, so.
It is your favorite, you would say. And would you say it's your favorite because it's the best crafted, or what?
No, I think just taste-wise. I don't think it's the best crafted.
You think it's mainly just because that's more the style that you like to look for?
I do like this style. I mean, I've liked some of the other styles that we've had. They just fell a little short for me.
Okay. I can see that.
But I do like the flavor profile. I do enjoy dark beers. But okay. I tell you what, I really did like that Myron's Walk.
Myron's Walk was a good one. It really was a good one. Okay. I will finish off the last three beers that we had on days prior and talk about. We had the Ivan the Great Belgian Blonde, and that was done in collaboration with Russian River Brewing, 6.3% alcohol by volume. That was one where you kind of got smacked with the Belgian yeast first thing on the flavor. But then after you drank it a little bit more, it kind of started to tame itself a little bit. It was real Belgian-y, but I felt like it was really clean and had like a really nice present mouthfeel to it. And you know me, I'm typically not big into Belgians, but I was pretty impressed and happy with that beer. And I said on numerous occasions when we were finishing off the bottle, I was like, man, this Ivan is really surprising me.
Yeah. No, I felt the same way. It's ranked up high on my list as well.
All right. And we had the Electric Ray India Pale Lager, collaboration with Ballast Point, and that was 8.5% alcohol, and that is tied for the most alcoholic in the pack. We said it is a bit more syrupy than you would expect from this style of beer, and that's probably because it's 8.5% alcohol, which most India Pale Lagers, which are a relatively new style of beer, most are not even close to 8.5%. They're usually a lot lower than that. You could get a lot of like the crisp lager notes to it, and you got some significant hop presence, which kind of made it have more of a, more of a thicker mouthfeel to it. Overall, I wasn't all that hot on that beer just because I felt like the alcohol by volume was a little too much for what that style was. And I know one of my friends had had it and said, oh, I kind of really like that. And I was like, really? I just felt like it was pretty astringent on the finish. And they were like, oh, boy, I thought they hid the ABV well. And I was like, I didn't think they hid it well. And here's the other thing. With that style of beer, why is the ABV going to be that high? You know, it's unnecessary. You don't need it to be that high. And if you take it down, you're going to get a better flavor to it.
Yeah.
Because it just gets astringent. So that's kind of where we were on that one. And then the final one that I hadn't talked about yet is the Torpedo Pilsner Hoppy Pilsner in collaboration with Firestone Walker. It was 5.2% alcohol by volume. Had a lot of hay notes with some hoppage to it, but not a lot of hops to it.
Hoppage.
Some hoppage. It finished... I mean, the way it finished was very Pilsner-y. Like,
yeah.
Pilsner malts like crazy. You know, you're just like, Pilsner, Pilsner, Pilsner. But here's the thing. When it warmed up a little bit more...
It was much better.
You started getting, like, this very nice, slight, orangey hint to it. Not a phenomenal beer, but clean, light, kind of refreshing. Decent. I was pretty happy with it. It was fine. So overall, I'd say for me, the pack was successful enough. I wasn't like severely let down by it. I mean, I know saying like, oh, you know, Victory and Bell's and Firestone Walker and Three Floyds and Ballast Point, you know, like all these breweries that you're thinking like the best of the best, like amazing. That's not what it was. It wasn't the most amazing stuff out there. So I'm sure a lot of people got really psyched up about it based on that. And I did at first, but then I adjusted my expectations and I was like, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And the other thing you need to figure with it is they're doing festivals in the summer with these beers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're releasing the packages in the summer with these beers. Yeah. So they weren't going to have too many beers that were like super thick mouthfeel and heavy. And you know what I mean?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
So I feel like you have to think about that.
There are plenty of, like, quote-unquote summer beers that are better than what this package showed.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to address real fast before we wrap this stuff up is that there was a little bit outcry. Well, I wouldn't say so much of an outcry, but a few people kind of commented, like, it's like $26. For the 12-pack. And people were like, oh, it's kind of expensive. Like, some people were like, oh, it's kind of expensive. I think it was mainly people who aren't huge into craft beer and know how expensive craft beer really is. But here's the thing. A 12-pack for $26, we worked it out. It's basically around, like, $2.50 per beer. If you go out to a bar and you get a beer, it's going to be more than that. You know what I mean? Probably double the price at least. Like, at least $5. Maybe more. Depending on where you are in the United States. But the other thing is, you know, like craft beer six packs are a lot of times around $10 or so. Also, depending on where you are.
You know, I just thought, I feel like we need to get extra homeowner's insurance taken out because of your beer
because
supply.
Of my beers? You might be right on that. Yeah. Say, in the case of a fire, if I lose my beer, I need to be reimbursed. And there's some stuff that was expensive.
I know. I'm like listening to you talk, and I'm thinking about my refrigerator, the small refrigerator, and the infamous beer closet. And I'm thinking, that is a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And again, this is why we live in a townhouse and don't have kids.
Yes, exactly. So that I can have an expensive beer, craft beer habit.
Mm-hmm.
And make you have one as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the end, and like I promised, you know, we're going to talk about our rankings for this 12-pack of beer. Rebecca, did you want to go first, or do you want me to go first on this one?
I'll go first.
Okay. Well, actually, let me go ahead and go first.
Why?
Just because I don't think you wrote everything down. Like, I was going to give the name, the style, and the brewery.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you go after me, people will remember what the name of the beer was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Sometimes so I we'll put the name in the beer. Sometimes I just put the style.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go, what do you think I should do? What's more dramatic? If I go from bottom to top or top to bottom? Let's go bottom to top.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Also, our third sidekick did come back.
Oh, yes. Chloe the cat is back. She is snuggled up on the couch with Rebecca. She, the craft beer drew her back in.
I guess so.
That's what happens.
The fireworks scared her away.
Yeah, for a little bit.
She's back.
Okay, so the Chico King Pale Ale by Three Floyds at number 12. At number 11, the Electric Ray India Pale Lager by Ballast Point. This one, just too astringent in my opinion. Number 10, the Tater Ridge Scottish Ale with the sweet potatoes. Just felt like there wasn't really much of anything going on there. Number 9, I had the There and Back English Bitter by New Glarus. I thought it was actually pretty good. I did appreciate the apricot that came up in it. Then number 8, the Torpedo Pilsner Hoppy Pilsner by Firestone Walker. Like I said, it started just like kind of really too light and not a whole lot going on. But then the more I tasted it, I kind of like the hops that started to come through and be a little orangey. Number 7, the Yonder Bock Tropical My Bock Cigar City. Pretty decent. I got some tropical notes, but not like the most amazing. Number 6, the Double Latte Coffee Milk Stout by Ninkasi.
That's your number 6?
That is my number 6. I felt like it was imbalanced to me. Like, okay. I said, I like typically really like those flavors, but as far as the composition of the beer went, wasn't the most impressed with it, so I had to knock it down. Then number 5, the Myron's Walk Belgian Pale Ale by Allagash. I thought that was a surprisingly good Belgian Pale Ale that, like we said, wasn't too Belgian-y, and the coriander was nice with it. Number 4, the Alt Root Alt Beer by Victory. Like I said, when I talked about it, I thought for the style, it was a very impressive alt beer. And it had a lot more mouthfeel to it and a lot more flavor than you typically get from alt beers. Number 3, I had Ivan the Great Belgian Blonde by Russian River. That surprised the hell out of me. That beer, you know, being a Belgian blonde, mm-hmm. two things I'm typically not down with, Belgians and blondes, and it just worked.
Belgians and blondes, that's funny.
Belgian people and blonde people.
That's funny.
So it just worked, it really did. Number 2 for me was the Mellard's Odyssey Imperial Dark Ale by Bell's. Very dark, very roasty, great hop presence, great mouth feel. I thought it was a pretty good beer. And the number 1 for me, still, the Can Fusion Rybok by Oscar Blues. That beer knocked my socks off as far as being a Rybok, not knowing what to expect, and being very, very, very pleased with what it presented to me. And like I said, dehydrated pineapples for some reason, I really liked it. So that's my ranking. You may go ahead.
Interesting. Okay. So sometimes I wrote like the name of the beer and sometimes I wrote the style. That's fine. You might have to interpret. Okay, so my number 12, so my lowest was the Chico King
Pale Ale by Three Floyds.
Okay. Number 11, I have the IPL.
Ballast Points Electric Ray.
10, I have the Hoppy Pilsner.
The Torpedo Pilsner, Firestone Walker.
Yeah. Number 9, I have the Tater one.
Tater Ridge, the Scottish Ale with the Asheville Brewers Alliance.
Number 8, my number 8 is the Rybok.
Okay.
Which is your number 1.
That's the Can Fusion by Oscar Blues.
It's just not my thing. Number 7, I think we have the same thing, the My Bock.
The Yonder Bock Tropical My Bock Cigar City.
We both put that
number 7. We did both put that 7.
Number 6, I have the Alt Beer.
Okay, the Alt Root by Victory.
5, I have Ivan the Great.
Ivan the Great, the Belgian Blonde by Russian River.
4, I have Myron's Walk.
Yes, the Belgian Pale Ale by Allagash.
And then 3, I have the English Bitter.
Okay, the There and Back.
And you have that.
English Bitter by New Glarus. Yeah. I had that at number 9.
Yeah, I liked that.
I mean, I liked it too.
I mean, it was kind of wimpy. I just liked that. I like the apricot notes.
I mean, I did too, and I said that when I was talking about it, but it's just, you know.
Whatever. Number 2, I had that Dark Ale.
Oh, the Mellard's Odyssey Imperial Dark Ale by Bell's. That's what I had as number 2 as well.
And then number 1, I have the Double Latte.
The Double Latte Coffee Milk Stout by Ninkasi. I just didn't think that it's composition-wise the best for what it's supposed to be.
For what it's supposed to be, no. But do I like the taste? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, because we did a lot of this prior to the show, I took a lot of time to like really, really, really put a lot of thought into tasting these beers and thinking about not just what I'm feeling at the moment and what's tasting good to me at the moment, but also just what is like what's appropriate for that style, which is something we typically can't do on this show because we usually don't know what we're tasting. So,
and I purely just went with emotional, like what I liked.
That's fine.
Because we drank them and everyone was tired. Everyone tastes differently. And I like what I like.
Everyone's different with the way they like to taste. And it's the same thing with how people would like to rank beers, you know? Like, whatever you're feeling. There are plenty of people out there that you can get them on different days and set the same beer in front of them. And their ranking would be different because of how they're feeling. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, that's just the way it is. So, do you feel like you've been educated? Do you feel like you had a good time?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a question for the listeners. Have a good time, obviously, because you're always having a good time when you're drinking beer with your husband.
Oh, well, thank you.
Educated? I always learn something here.
Nice.
Brutal battle. What was the other question?
That was it. Oh, that was it. But I do want the follow-up question of, overall, how are you feeling about this 12-pack?
You know what I'm going to say.
Underwhelmed, right? Yeah. Okay.
Not worth it.
So you probably want to get rid of yours. Except for the double latte, maybe.
I mean, you know, even the double latte, it was good, but I've had better beers of this style.
I've had a lot better that are supposed to be that style. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for, you know, joining in on this episode. Chloe the Cat, thank you very much for joining us.
This is your first, like, guest appearance for, like,
no,
the whole podcast.
She's meowed on other episodes. Oh. If you go back and, like, really listen for it, you can hear it from time to time.
Oh, well, this is the first time she sat with us the whole time.
This is the first time that we knew she was going to be on it.
Yeah.
Like, so that's different.
But she didn't meow at all, but she's here.
No, no meowing. She's here. Anyway.
She looks real cute.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Had a really, really, really good time. Hopefully you learned a little bit something about the Beer Camp beers. If you've already had them, you know, maybe you agree with what we said, maybe you don't. If you haven't had them, I don't know if this would sway you to try and get a hold of them or not, but...
Oh, I probably didn't help with that.
Well, you know, you never know. We described what we were smelling and tasting, and based on that, maybe some people were like, oh, well, that actually sounds good to me.
Right.
You know, we said it's very subjective, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, any food, drink, it is subjective.
It's just the way it's going to be. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and...
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.